So, my name is Katja Kwastek. I'm professor of modern and contemporary art history at the Vrije Universiteit in Amsterdam. The session I'm chairing, we have entitled it The Ready-Made Digital or Ready-Made Post-Digital, and that will probably be a question for the discussion also. But the main topic will be the value of the concept of the ready-made in the digital era, the era of digitality, or how you want to call it. And I would like to start with a little story, and then I'll come up with 5 points that we might also take back up in discussion. So some of you might be familiar with the British artist Mark Leckey, and we actually also positioned a catalogue of his show outside. He is an artist who is famous for having collected found footage, worked with found footage very much, also lots of audiovisual material. But he also collected a huge number of just images on his laptop. And when he was asked to do a show by the London Hayward Gallery, he told them, you know, what I would like you to do is to get hold of as many of the original objects that are represented on my image gallery on my laptop to exhibit them in your gallery. So try to assemble all these objects. And the curators really did a great job in getting hold of these objects, artifacts, design objects, everyday objects from all over the world to show them in that gallery setting. And this is one of the exhibits, actually, that came out of it. So the curators thought they really satisfied the artist, having made the virtual actual, the concept of his laptop photos, they said, which took up actual real estate in a whole series of exhibitions, because it was a touring exhibition. But Leckey actually is reported to have been really disappointed about the show, because he realized that once he saw all these objects before him, they were totally alienated from him. They were not anymore his objects on his laptop, but they were this kind of erratic objects that he was not even allowed to touch. So what he did is that he had all the objects 3D scanned before sending them back after the exhibition, and created his own version, in a way, of the objects, scaling them, coloring them, combining them, and in that sense really making them again his own. And I think this is an interesting story just as a background, and I'll come back to it from time to time, just to see how dealing with objects and also changing in between digital and analog in a way is quite characteristic for contemporary artistic practice. So let me just make 5 points for introduction. The first one is about the question of what could a digital ready-made be at all. So first of all, I think it's good to start thinking about the digital-born artifact, so not about all these questions of digitization, reproduction, but really about artifacts that are digital-born. And then, of course, we have to ask ourselves, well, the main mass of digital-born artifacts historically have actually been two-dimensional artifacts, or even if they have been like virtual simulations, they were mostly represented on two-dimensional screens. So what does this mean for the possibility of a ready-made? How do we at all deal with this question of the of two-dimensionality as a ready-made? Does it have to be an object, at least in our imagination? I mean, ontologically, this is one question, but also how we imagine this ready-made. And then does actually the ready-made move into the realm of the digital, maybe only with the advent of 3D printing? Then also in terms of digital ready-mades, I think what is interesting to remark in terms of these digital-born objects is that actually we can't make any difference anymore between selecting and copying, because the copied object is exactly the same as the selected object. So ontologically, this copy will be exactly the same as its template. So it seems we could argue rather irrelevant if the template already exists in multiple versions, like the mass-produced objects that we usually think of as a ready-made, as a consumer good ready-made, or if it is unique. So, but then we have to question, well, is that really the case? Because, of course, we know that often there is a kind of attempt to sustain the uniqueness of digital-born artifacts artificially through some kind of copy protection, some protections implemented into the code, so in a way in between legal and technical restrictions. So that would be something to discuss also. But if we say that it does not matter if the selected object is unique or mass-produced, then we also come to something, and that also already came up in the previous section, to the question, well, what is actually the objects that lend themselves to be used or selected as ready-made? So might we also have to broaden this concept and to include artworks or historical artifacts as potential potentially lending themselves to acquire that ready-made status as opposed to just industrial products. What is also interesting in this respect is that the early ready-made, as we know it from Duchamp, took consumer goods and imputed a certain aura on them by presenting them as art and authenticating them by signing them. But if we look as practices by Marc Lecky, but also by the artists who are going to present in this session, sometimes we really see a kind of opposite way. So they start off from artworks or cultural artifacts and multiply or appropriate, reproduce them, and in a way often then also encourage some mass post-production by a broader audience, and I'll come back to that. So in a way, and Ben Scherer has also already hinted to that, do we have to also think of this possibility of a kind of reverse ready-made nowadays? My second point is the not so much the production of these artifacts, but the selection, which is, of course, a key issue also in this whole discourse around the ready-made. And the subtitle title I gave to the session, The Algorithmic Act, of course, refers to Duchamp's 1957 lecture about the creative act, where he argues that you must deny the artist any state of consciousness on the aesthetic plane in what is selected. So no matter if we accept this criterion of disinterested selection as binding for some kind of narrow concept of the ready-made, we have to state that digital media actually allow us not only to produce digital-born objects, but also to delegate the process of selection of all digital or material artifacts to a machine. And then the question would be, is this then the ultimate kind of disinterested selection? So is the ultimate ready-made the one selected by a bot, by a machine, by an algorithm, or on the other hand, delegated to the audience, delegating this process of selection to the audience? My third point is the question, and this is also something that nicely relates to the previous session, the question of the blank. So, which means, does the ready-made always have to be the end product, or can it also be a kind of blank, raw product in a longer production chain? So this shifting character of the ready-made. And this is also already in a way alluded to in the 1957 lecture by Duchamp, where he argues, he describes the creative act as the artist going from invention to realization through a chain of totally subjective reactions. His struggle towards the realization is a series of efforts, pains, satisfactions, refusals, decisions, which must not be fully self-conscious. So while he takes it a little bit on a different line, this importance of the process of production is already present in a way in his argumentation. And of course, this is something which has become key in contemporary artistic practice very broadly. Very often we see artistic projects rather as sort of interventions into ongoing processes of visual and material meaning making, within which also their own work can take various forms, versions, and iterations. So we could say that in light of this development, or we could ask at least, if the ready-made also has shifted from a kind of final act in an object's life, as it was maybe conceived 100 years ago, to one possible interim status within a production process or a process of circulation and remediation. And I think also for this, the example of Lecky I gave is already quite telling. But also this question, if the actual, the immaterial STF file that is used to print 3D printed objects, might we regard this file actually as the ready-made coming along with the mere possibility of being printed and materialized? So do we rather have to identify a kind of ready-made moment of objects as one of the many states within this whole process of producing, distributing, appropriating, remediating, and exhibiting. And this would also include the status change in between the material and the digital, the two-dimensional and the three-dimensional. And there, again, this question of the post-digital would come into play. Lastly, concerning this process of selection, again, something that is already mentioned, we can trace back to Duchamp, to the Creative Act lecture that he wrote, the creative act is not performed by the artist alone. The spectator brings the work in contact with the eternal world by deciphering and interpreting its inner qualification, and that adds his contribution to the creative act. So in the end, we can also state that in the digital era, this participation can go much further, because it can actually, the act of selection can be delegated to the spectator, but also even then a final individual customization of the ready-made blank, as I mentioned that before. So then the question could be, will this century rather become the one of the customized mass product in the end? And how does artists react on that? And we also, and this is maybe a difference to the session we had before, at least what I seem, I think I can observe is sometimes that the entity of the appropriated object becomes less important than questions of material formats and scales in this process of digital appropriation. So it's very much going back to also the question of scale, of size, of material, choice of materials, and the objects are often just selections out of the broad, in a way, universe of things, one could say. And then, of course, the question, what is the relevance of the whole 3D scan and print technology in this context? Two more points that are a little bit more in the meta context of the question of the ready-made. The first is the tendency towards selecting, presenting, and distributing objects in plural, and we already saw that. Also, with Kader Atiyah's presentation as an example, so it's not anymore very often this single entity that is somehow singled out to be displayed, but we very often see this projects that exhibit series, groups, adaptations in progress. So it seems that not only I mentioned at the beginning that the difference between copying and selecting in a way might vanish in the digital realm, but also the one between selecting and curating in the end. So that very often it's these groups, this series, these collections that are displayed. And my last point is the question of the presentation context. So Duchamp closed another lecture in 1961 with exclaiming that the great artist of tomorrow will go underground. I guess that if he would write this or do this lecture today, he might also... It was how to escape commodification, that was the question. So probably it would have been, will go online nowadays, or it might be, will go online. But then the question is really, what is the importance of the institutional framework for the ready-made? And we already had the importance of the modes of display. So historically, the ready-made gained the status of an artworks through its exhibition in a gallery setting, or at least through the potential exhibition in a gallery setting, or through the contextualization as such. So is it bound to the institutional context of the art exhibition to at all be considered a ready-made, or can it in a way survive online? So that would be the five questions I would like to maybe come back to in the discussion and have you encourage you to think through during the presentations. We have three presentations now, and I very much thank the presenters for being here and sharing their thoughts with us. The first one will be Oliver Larik. He's an Austrian artist who lives and works in Berlin. He studied at the University of Applied Arts in Vienna, and I think some of you might know him from his first work, maybe even, or not his first, but the first one that really like went viral, let's say, the 787-778 clip arts, where he made this little animated video of clip arts he found online already in 2006. He also, from 2006 to 2012, together with three fellow artists from the University in Vienna, made this curatorial projects, vivog.com of a blog post only with artworks that became very famous. And in 2013, he actually started to work with 3D scans, if I'm not mistaken, and he will tell us more about that. But so that's our first speaker. Let me briefly also present the other two speakers. Second speaker will be Matthew Plummer Fernandez, who is a British Colombian artist. He studied at the Royal College of Art and is currently also pursuing his PhD at Goldsmith, actually in connection to a project he did in, or he started in 2015, and some of you might have come across that, the Novice Art Blogger, a Tumblr bot analyzing artworks, or rather reproductions of them based on deep learning algorithms. So in a way, an automated art critic, in a way, as an online project. He also runs a popular blog called Algopop on algorithms in everyday life, and he started to work with 3D printings already in 2010, and he will also tell us more about his approach also to this idea of the automated selection. And our respondent today will be Dr. Inke Arns. She is actually, well, I would like to see her as an art historian, but she actually has a much broader, in a way, background also in political science, Eastern European studies, and actually wrote a thesis at Humboldt University in Berlin exploring how artists reflected the historical avant-garde and the notion of utopia in visual and media art projects of the 1980s and 1990s in Eastern Europe or ex-Yugoslavia and Russia. And I think this is really nice also for the context of this conference, because she really bridges also these questions of the historical avant-garde and the present, being now since 2005 the curator and artistic director of the Hardware Medien Kunstverein in Dortmund, which I hope all of you have already visited. It's definitely worthwhile, doing great exhibitions. Also showing media art in a much broader perspective. A recent exhibition was The World Without Us, dealing with humans replaced by machines in a kind of post-anthropocentric world. And I think from this you already see that she's also very interesting to have on this panel. Okay, but we'll start with Oliver, and the floor is yours.